case we left off in the previous year, we were discussing a lot about what the potential problems of the ovens is in terms of the sugyas of Zeya, and we came to the realization that we may want to invoke the principle of kashering ovens. The question is, how would we go about even doing that? How would we go ahead and kasher an oven? So why would we even want to be kashering an oven? So multiple different reasons. One reason is maybe from fleshly kemochics, even though the minig generally not the kasher things, just flippantly back and forth. And maybe we could be a little bit more makel on that minig because we're not even sure that needs kashering in the first place, based on everything that we spoke about in terms of all the odds and ends and the chumas and kulas in terms of Zeya. Then we have more serious considerations where we're for sure going to want to kasher our ovens. Treif to kosher, you come to an apartment, you want to kasher an oven. Well, let's say you want to kasher an oven for Pesach. So we have a lot of different times in the year we're going to face the dilemma of kashering ovens. So the basic question we have to ask ourselves is, which method of kashering are we going to invoke? So we just barely started to touch about this at the end of the year, right? So which method are we going to invoke? So of course we all know, since we've been learning kashering came already so much, by the time we get to June, we'll have nothing left to do. But we know from the Mishnah, the end of Masechet Avodah Zarah, that there are two different methods of kashering. There's Hagola and there's Libun. And Hagola is usually reserved for those things that the bliya was done through liquids. Libun is used when the bliya was done directly through the Aish. The question is, where do ovens fit into that picture? So ovens are a little bit tricky, because on the one hand, there's no real liquid here. There's not a super-duper liquid here. So it sounds like it should qualify for a libun, like a dry heat type of kashering. On the other hand, the only reason why there's a problem in the first place is because it's Zeya, and the Rosh taught us, based on the Mishnayos, and the Sugyos of the Gemara, that Zeya has the status like a liquid. So it's kind of hard to say that, well, there's no liquid here, it's a dry heat. Well, there's only dry heats, and why was there a bli in the first place? So we may be a little bit of a circle. So we're not quite sure how to treat ovens in the first place. We don't know which category of kashering they're supposed to fit into. Are they supposed to be in the category of Hagola? Are they supposed to be in the category of Libun? At first glance, it doesn't seem to make much of a difference because it's going to be practically impossible to do any of the above. How in the world are you going to get a kashering of a Hagola? You take the oven and throw it into a pot of water, how are you going to kash something through Hagola? And if you tell me that it requires Libun, so Libun, and we'll hopefully learn more details about kashering Kalim, we'll see that in order to affect Libun, it's got to get really, really, really hot, which is probably going to be almost physically impossible to do on, at least in a regular old-style kind of an oven. So it doesn't really make much of a difference which method we're looking at. We're going to run into problems either way. Unless one wants to come up with the following idea. Maybe if we're willing to categorize an oven as something that only requires a goat, based on this part that we said before, that, well, the whole bli in the first place was only through Zeya, which is the halakha equivalent of a mashkin, a liquid. So if you're going to suffice ourselves with kashering through Hagola, then maybe we could pull off the stunt of kashering through Hagola. How could we do that? So there is a principle that the Rishonim developed, Rishonim the end of the Sefer Zarah. We spoke a little bit about this last year in some of the Shabbos Shirim. The Rishonim developed a principle in terms of kashering called Libun Kal. Libun Kal doesn't appear in the Gemara itself. So Libun Kal means as follows. You don't, rather than expose the kli to water, you expose the kli to direct flame, but for some reason that direct flame is just not hot enough. It doesn't meet the criteria for what we call real Libun, Libun Gomer. Libun Gomer is really, really, really hot. Gemara in the end of Adazar gives you some kind of a shiur, the Yerushalmi gives you other shiurim. It's really super duper duper hot, which is going to be pretty hard to create under many circumstances. So the Rishonim developed this idea in saying, if you have a kli that doesn't really need Libun, it really suffices with Hagola. Hagola, it's just not practical to do Hagola. You can't stick it into anything. So if you do a lower level of direct flame, that's not going to be any worse than a Hagola. So basically, the Rishonim developed this idea that whatever suffices with Hagola, Pidin, so then if you can't practically do Hagola, Libun Kal would be good enough. So that's going to help things along the way in terms of Metzia. So if we're willing to take the approach that ovens can be kashered just easily through Hagola, if we're willing to take that big leap of faith that Hagola is sufficient because it's only a bliya derech zeya, like a mashke, so then maybe one can argue that if you just turn the oven on, so although that's not going to be high enough to make a Libun Gomor, but maybe to make a Libun Kal, that's going to be good enough. And if all you needed was a Gomor anyway, so Libun Kal will suffice. So that's an interesting approach. That's some poskim had this approach to kashering ovens, making two assumptions. But all you need is a Gomor in the first place, and in place of doing a practical physical Hagol, you could do a Libun Kal, which is of course much, much easier. So this idea was suggested by Henkin, one of the Gedalia Poskim in America before Moshe. So Henkin had this idea that basically all that's needed is it's a Zeh anyway, you can do a Kemashkin, all you need is Hagol, Libun Kal, and Shon Shalom Yisrael. So that was one interesting approach to kashering. Others disagreed with this. Others disagreed with the basic premise of a penkin. Moshe disagreed with it. Moshe held that ovens have the status of something which requires libun, and as such, they require libun. They require real libun. And just turning on an oven for as long as you want to turn it on for is just not going to meet the criteria in terms of being a real bona fide libun. So if you don't go that route of a Henke, if you go the route of a Moshe, then the Chari are going to be in trouble. And last one wants to suggest as follows. Maybe it depends why you're kashering the oven in the first place. We already said there are three different reasons why kashering an oven. Either from place to Luchel, or vice versa, or from Treif to Kosher, or from Chametz to Pesach. So the answer to the question is, as to why you're kashering, for what you're trying to accomplish the kashering, may make all the difference in the world, because perhaps the standards of kashering are going to be different. This is based on a sugya that appears in the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah. We're going to actually talk about the sugya, hopefully in Siman Tzadik Gimel, it comes up a little bit, and then back and we get down to Kashrut Kelim. We'll come back to this a lot as well. There's a sugya in the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah where the Gemara discusses the two different methods of kashrut, Libun versus Hagola, that distinction only applies when you have what's called an halacha Isura Bola. When you have Chazan, Veilus, Trefus, they're things which are really a Dabar Asar, which get absorbed into a kli. So if it's a kli that was absorbed through direct fire, then it requires libun. If it's just through water, then it suffices with hagol. That distinction is only true when you're dealing with a sura bala, when you're dealing with a hetera bala, when the bli originally was a davar hamutter in the first place. If it's a davar hamutter, so why a kasher? If it's a davar hamutter at the time, it was nivla, but now down the line it created a problem and developed. So whenever the original bli was the hetera bala, so then the halacha says that you're allowed a kasher everything with hagol. There is no din of libun. So some deep, dark secret. What's the source for this? So the Gemara has, based on Psukim, Mishnayis, the end of Avodah Zarah, Mishnayis and Zvachim, when the Mishnayis speak about the end in the Masechet Zvachim, about Kasher and Kelim with the Beis HaMikdash. So we spoke about this the other day, Mariko Shtifa, right, about we have Mikdash, Mufafeya, right? The Sugyas in Masechet Zvachim, copying the Sugyas in Masechet Zvachim, that there's a din of Mariko Shtifa, when you cook a korban in a kli, so you have to kasher that kli, because even though right now it's okay, but if you leave the bleas inside the kli in a day or two, or depending on what the carbon is, it's all going to become no sin, and you won't be able to use that kli anymore. So you have to kasher the kelim in order to get out the potential bleas of no sin. So when it comes to kashering the Beis HaMikdash, the halacha never speaks about libun, the Mishnayos don't speak about libun, the Pasuk doesn't speak about libun, the Pasuk has a book, the Pesukim speak about hagol. Why? Maybe we should argue that it depends what I use to cook the kachim. If I made a kachim soup, I made a meat soup out of a desire chatas or something, so then I understand why a murk with shittah v'mayim is sufficient. I understand why hagol is enough. But what if I grilled and I made a barbecue? The whole Quran got together, they barbecued the chatas, so it should require libun. And we don't find anywhere in it with kachim that it requires libun. So my nishtana, that kachim gets away without libun. The Gemara says in the end of the Masechet Avodah Zarah, one of the answers is, but we passed in halacha, the answer is it's hetera bala. Since at the time when the kachim was nivla, there was still a davra mutar, but hetera bala, the rules of kashrut are different. Why in the world should that be so? So this is part of Siman Tzadik Gimel. I don't know if anyone got a chance to see Siman Tzadik Gimel. No, not yet. This is a long, 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 long Rashba, and it's quoted by the Shach and Siman Tzadik Gimel. And in a little bit of a different context, we'll talk about this hopefully in Sugya's coming up. But anyway, that's the reason. That's the halacha. That's what we pass from the halacha. That when it comes to Teira Bala, so then even Kalim, which would have otherwise required Libun, can somehow, for some deep dark secret, can get away with Hagola. What are some examples of a Teira Bala? The next time we have to kasha things from the base of Mikdash. Yeah, that's important to know. But for Mary Bana Mikdash, but for those of us who are still learning Yeradeya pre-Geula, so what cases do we have of a Teira Bala? So the Rishonim point out that if you have Basa B'chala, that could potentially be a Teira Bala also. In the following sense, let's say I have a kli that I cooked Basa with, and now I want to use that kli to cook milafix. So Kol's not a habit yet cooked milafix in it, so it's still a Dabra Mutar. There's nothing else about this Basa. I want to get the Tam Basa out in order to enable me to cook milafix in there. So that's the same as the Beis HaMikdash. I want to get the Tam of the meat out before it becomes Nosar. That's considered to four causes of problems, and that's considered to be a terabola. If I have a basar and then 10 minutes later I cook chalav in that pot, so now that's called isurabola. Now I have a bliya of basar chalav together, that's not called a terabola. That taka would require libun. But if I have a bliya of basar and then I don't have a bliya of chalav yet, that's called a terabola. That's what the later after an extent, that idea of a terabola, even though if I have a bliya of basar chalav, but it wasn't within 24 hours. If it wasn't within Bas Yoyim, if it wasn't within 24 hours, then that's also considered to be like a terrible. Let's say the karma shal. I have a fleshik pot, and let's say I have a fleshik, whatever, grill or something. So I've been using it for meat for the last 20 years. So it has a terrible. If I would want to kasher it someday to make a milchiks, so I would have to just put it into a pot of hot water. I wouldn't have to put it onto the fire because it's a terrible. And then I haven't used it for the last week, and all of a sudden I grill a cheese on it. So one would think, oh no, you grilled cheese on it, that's called the surabolic, and Boston Cholam, now you have to kasher the libun. So the Echlan right, no, that's not true. The kasher Sadvarb is most Boston thing, you don't have to kasher the libun, because since it wasn't Ben Yomo, so there was never really a bli of Boston Cholam together. But Tom was of the Boston, was already nursing Tom of Gam. So now I have, it's a funny kind of a grill. It's not a Boston Cholam to the grill. There's Boston in it, Midirabonah, so you have to put it for hours, Midirabonah, there's Boston in it. And there's cholov in it. It's not bosa b'cholov together. It's not isur bosa. It's a terubola. So you can talk a kasha that through hagolah. So again, we'll talk about this a little bit later on. A little bit later on in the year. So everyone agrees when it, at least in the halakha, everyone agrees when you have a terubola, so you can get away with a cheaper form of kasha, a simpler form of kasha. So now maybe we can argue that's going to help us. That halakha is going to help us in terms of kasha others. Even if we're going to play like Ramesha, we're going to assume like Ramesha that ovens are not just Hagola category. They're not like Rav Henkin's Zeya. It's considered to be halachli that you require Libun. So maybe one can differentiate with the different kinds of ovens. So if you're kashering the oven from Treif, you're moving into a Goy's apartment, Chaz and Avelis Treifis. So then, according to Ramesha, you need Libun, and we have to figure out if there's any way for us to even pull off a stunt of Libun according to Ramesha. So if you're kashering from treifus, then you need libun, and then you're in a pickle. But if you're only kashering from fleshik to milk, and vice versa, then it's only a terabola, so then you really only need hagola. Oh, you only need hagola whenever you need hagola. So we plug in the cloth and the water at the end of the zara, that whenever you need hagola, so libun kal is good enough. So that would be an approach to salvage our ovens according to Rav Moshe. Again, so that would be mafi to go from place to smoke back and forth according to Rav Moshe with a cheaping kind of a kashrut, just turning on the oven for a while until it gets pretty hot. That would be good enough to suffice as a libun kal according to Rav Moshe. Oh, that's what we're going to get. So this is a great idea, perhaps for the least likely kashrut. What about, so from treif to kosher is not going to work. What about from chametz to pesach? So this is yadua, should be yadua, hopefully it will be yadua. So my big machlokes is Rishayim. Where does chametz fit into this? Is chametz considered to be a terabola, or is chametz considered to be isurabola? So in fact, 2 days of Tzachim. Famous machlokes is Rishayim. We're going to hopefully talk about. There's also a lot more in terms of kashrut and kelim. So it's a big machlokes is Rishayim. So the Ramban has a famous comment where the Ramban writes that chametz is considered to be isurabola. Why is that? So the Ramban writes it was chametz is shmoyel of kol hashana. Rabban says that chometz is called chometz even now, middle of December, it's still called chometz. It happens to be it's not Pesach yet, so I don't have to be concerned with chometz, but it's still called chometz. Because the terubola means that it doesn't even have a shame yisur on it altogether. Let's say the marshal in the case of the Beis HaMikdash. I cooked chatas an hour ago, so now I have bleas of chatas inside the walls of the kli. So would you say as follows, oh, I really have no sir? It's just the shame, the yisur no sir hasn't yet come. There's ma no sir. It's called no sir, but there's ma no sir hasn't come yet. That's a late sonnet. No one would say such a silly thing. It's not called Nisr until the 24 hours, until the Zman of Nisr arrives. Let's say Bosa B'cholov. So would you say the following? I cooked fleshiks in my pot, so now I really have Bosa B'cholov here, just that the cholov hasn't arrived yet. It's not Bosa B'cholov yet, until you have all the components, so it's not called Bosa B'cholov. It's the Chisar and the Yetzim, so it's not called the Shem Bosa B'cholov. It's not called the Shem Nisr. That's called the Terubola. When you have Chometz and Pesach, so chametz before Pesach is also called chametz. It says on the box, do not eat these matzahs. These are chametz matzahs, not for Pesach use. The shame chametz exists. My wife tells me, don't bring food down to the basement now because it's chametz. Chametz is not Pesach. Terry says, it's chametz, it just happens not to be Pesach yet. So that's the Ramban's famous story, the Shemayla. The Rav said that what the stomach of the Ramban is driving at is that it's not just that the Lashon B'nai Yavdom is called chametz. But Alpi did it called chametz. There are halachas of chametz all year long. Chametz from the base of Mikdash. So then you can't be oifem menachash of chametz all year long. So you see that the tailor's misyaches to the shame chametz even before Pesach comes. Masha'en came, the bas b'chol is not called a piece of meat. It's not called that. I'm sitting down having my steak now. I'm really eating bas b'chol, but just that there's no chol of here. So that's not mashalitz on this. So that's called a terrible. So that's a big machlokes haposkim. So we try to be machmer in that shaila. We maybe we treat it as a speker tadina. Again, we'll talk about it a little bit more. We can talk about kashrut kenah for Pesach, but we're not so convinced that the chametz is considered to be a terabala. We're nervous that maybe the Ramban is right. Maybe chametz is considered to be surabala. So we're not going to go jump and run right away to kasher our grill for Pesach just by throwing them into hot water. We're going to treat it lechumra. We're going to require even gavur. So this whole idea of kashering in our ovens based on Liban Kal, which is sufficing for Hagol, even according to Rav Moshe, is becoming very, very limited in terms of its application, in terms of its scope. From real treifas, for sure it's not going to work for Rav Moshe. For Chometz, we're not even sure that's going to work according to Rav Moshe. For Fleishik, for Milchik, for Fleishik, okay, so maybe that'll work for Rav Moshe. So the Badia Shulchan has serious reservations even with that. Even what we thought which should work for Choladeus, that the kasher from Fleishik to Milchik for sure should work with Liban Kal. So the Badia Shulchan writes that no, maybe the buck stops here in our ovens, because our ovens have another problem. So namely, our ovens may have a status of a klicheres. This is part of a general issue about porcelain. It's different kinds of enamel, different kinds of stuff. I don't know enough about the insides of the ovens. But al atzad that our ovens have the status of a klicheres, that's a whole different ballgame, because if klicheres, the Gemara says, you can never cash it to a goa. Teri idak klicheres, any yosmu gay derfi li yoylem. You can never ever cash it to a goa. Libun taka works in a klicheres. Min haTorah, for sure, Libun works in a klicheres. And sometimes the Rabbanan does, sometimes the Rabbanan does, and also details we'll talk about as we go on. But anytime you want to kash a klicheres, if you want to revoke the principle of Hagola, that's a non-starter. So the Badar Shulchan points out that if Yechayches and our ovens have the status inside like Cheres, so then even by a terabola they're not going to work. Even by a terabola you can require a Liban Gomor, which is not practical in our ovens. So for a variety of reasons, again, unless you believe that our ovens are Bechlal, not Cheres, and you're willing to go on Henkin's route, that there's no real need for Liban anyway, you can take that approach, and then you can begin to negotiate cash with our ovens. But Yechayches, either for Amosha's concerns that you need Liban Gomor, which is not practical, or you need Yechoshish for Badia Shulchan's issues in terms of the porcelain inside the ovens. If any of those factors are right, then we're looking for trouble. We're asking for trouble in terms of our ovens. It's not going to be so easy to cash for our ovens.
What about if you have like Liyas of Chodesh after Pesach? Would that go the other way?
Liyas of Chodesh?
From before Pesach, and we talk to Pesach.
You have Pesach, it's more to eat it.
So would it be so boring?
You don't have to cash for it.
Then the problem would be more to
eat it. Yeah, you can eat the food itself. If you had a bowl of cereal from before Pesach,
it
would
be different. If it was boring, you still have to eat it.
But now it's working. It's like using, I can use chametz, let's say I cooked chametz in a pan on Pesach. So I could use it after Pesach. Yes, it's all. Okay, so again, we're getting back to the story. So it sounds like we don't have much of a solution to kasher, according to, if we're going to go the route of Rav Moshe, we very, very difficult practically to kasher our ovens with the Liban Gomor. Unless one wants to suggest as follows. Unless one wants to suggest that maybe we can physically affect a Liban Gomer in our ovens based on the following. If you look at the regular Kvalim in the Gemara, at the end of the Baal and the Zohar, the Yerushalmi, about what's necessary, how hot it's necessary to meet in order to be called a Liban, our ovens are probably not going to make it. If our ovens reach 550, it's not going to get that hot. Unless one wants to go with the following thing. We know the underlying principle of kashering is called Kabbalah Kachpolto. Maybe we can suggest like this. So imagine a room that you require such intense heat, such high temperatures for kasher ovens. That's in the olden days, because in the olden days, you had no idea how hot the oven really got. You had no idea how hot the grill ever got. So therefore, the halacha is kaveh. It has to be really, really hot. That's your tishra klipa, till the klipas of the kli starts to peel away, or the tzeltzes nitzim, you have to have sparks that are flying. You have to have really, really serious heavy-duty heat in order to make sure that you reach the ultimate heat that this was ever used for. What if you have a modern-day contraption that you know exactly how hot it got? It never got above 550. Well, you have a thermostat. So the minute it reaches 550, it goes down. The oven turns off. So you know you never got hotter than temperature X. So if I can mimic temperature X by turning on the oven for an hour, whatever it is, as long as it takes to reach that ultimate temperature, and I know for a fact I never ever cooked anything hotter than that, then maybe that's called Liban. Maybe Kabbalah Kachpolto kicks in. Maybe that's considered a Pialocha to be called Liban. That would be a tremendous chiddush. So Rav Moshe Bechla wasn't good at this. Rav Moshe writes, he addresses this, he says it's not true. He says Kabbalah Kachpolto has to do with degrees of temperature. Kabbalah Kachpolto is a way of determining, should I do Hagola, should I do Liban? Which method of kashering do I use? But says Rav Moshe, says once the halacha is kaveh that it needs a libun, so there's a shiur. What's called libun? What libun is? He tells us nitzin. The shiur of libun is klipas and sharon, whatever the halacha is about, whatever the precise shiur of temperature is for libun. You have to reach that temperature. Because you happen to know Baruch HaKadosh that you never cooked hotter than that. You never grilled, you never oven, you never roasted in the oven, you never baked in the oven hotter than that. That's the ma'al lam it says in the Moshe. But not everyone agreed to the Moshe. There are other Gedaliah folks who disagreed, who said that Kabbalah Kachpoto would apply even to this as well. L'chora, this Kiddush, that Kabbalah Kachpoto may work in terms of Libun, is already a machlekes in Rishonim. There are some Rishonim who say that the Chalal Libun doesn't work through the mechanism, through the principle of Kabbalah Kachpoto. The only time the Gemara uses Kabbalah Kachpoto happens to be in the context of Hagolah. It's the Gemara, the second Berakh of Psachim. So maybe Libun works that way, and maybe Libun Bechalal doesn't work that way. Why would one think that Libun doesn't work that way, Bechalal, based on Kabbalah Kachpoto? So there's a famous kash we just alluded to, there's been before, where the Gemara says two things that seem to contradict each other. The Gemara says in Maseches Psachim, and a Torah idach lecheres any yotim deydochem liyarlim, that lecheres will never ever lose its blias entirely. The Torah says, lecheres yetvusha bo yishaver only in bechli nechoshes b'shalom or b'shutaf l'mayim. So lecheres is out of the question. You can never cash it. A Torah idach any yotim deydochem liyarlim. And then two lines later, the Gemara says that, by the way, if you want to take a lecheres and put it back into the kivshinus, throw it back into the furnace, you want to kasher it through a libun, that's going to work. You can kasher klicheres to libun. So what do we share about really kasher to libun? You just told me a minute ago that it doesn't work. That a Torah eat up klicheres, any other thing that's really island. So how can libun work? If the bli is not leave, how in the world can libun work? That's an age-old kasher. So different Rishonim have different theories into that kasher. So the Ra'ah has the following tenets. The Ra'ah says, no, the both statements are true. They have nothing to do with each other. The Gemara says, a Torah eat up klicheres, and a yotzmir dofel yaylam. Namely, that you can never get a bliya out. Once a bliya is in, it's never going to come out through Hagolah. Hagolah is a process of Kabbalah Kachpolto. You have to be maflet the tam. There's no way the cheres is so porous it gets in, stuck in, it's not going to come out. What does Libun do? So the Rosh says, Libun is a dami, a different word. Libun is destruction of the Yisrael. Libun is mevirus Yisrael. Libun is mechalas Yisrael. It's surface Yisrael and kaimai. It doesn't bring it out. It goes in and it destroys it and where it is. Hagolah Libun work conceptually very, very different. Hagolah means you take hot water, you shove the hot water into the kli, and the hot water goes in and brings out all the bliyas that are inside. Bechalal, that's not what's happening by Libun. By Libun, you're going after the Yisrael Kol. You're not drawing it anywhere. It's not going to get out. It's a kli cheres. Nothing comes out. But the Libun is surface Yisrael Kol. So according to that Ra'ah, and again, we're going to come back to that Ra'ah in Simen Tzadi Dal, the post we discussed this Ra'ah, great length, Shach, maybe Shach about this Ra'ah. L'chora, according to this Ra'ah, so we can't even get started. We wanted to be mafir a funny Libun, a quasi Libun, by saying, well, Kabbalah Kachpoto. If I know that it's 550, so then I can get it out through 550. Get it what out through 550? Libun, the Chlal doesn't work Kabbalah Kachpoto. The whole Chlal of Kabbalah Kachpoto doesn't make any sense by Libun. Libun works with a different principle. Lagamre works with the principle of being surface Yisrael Mekaymai. What's the shear for being surface Yisrael Mekaymai? So the Gemara tells us in the Vedazar, Shalmi, what the shear is. Mitzvah is Nitzim, Kripas, Nisharis, whatever the official objective shear and whatnot, that's all there is. You want to mimic the original cooking, it doesn't help a chlal, because the whole din of Kabbalah Kachpoto doesn't apply to Libun. So we have a lot of serious hesitations before we apply this kula of the thermostats. Number one, they're not sure that Kabbalah Kachpoto was ever set in temperatures altogether. That's what Moshe says, Lo Shemana Devazim Yoylam, that Kabbalah Kachpoto applies to temperatures, only applies to methods of kashering, but not within degrees within the method. And then other Rishonim question, I'm not saying we pass like this Ra'ah, but according to some Rishonim, according to this Ra'ah, so the whole idea of Kabbalah Kachpoto is only a little bit of Hagolah, but that doesn't make any sense by Libun. So we're not 100% sure about this kula. There were Gedaliah Poskim who had this kula. The Baal Kol, others were born into this idea, this kula, that maybe you can kasher ovens based on Libun, but just turning it up to the highest possible temperature. So you have Yesh V'Yesh, you have different opinions in the Gedaliah Poskim, at Hayyam Ezeh. Basically, it boils down to three basic approaches to Gedaliah Olam over the last 70 years or so in America, as to what our approach to our regular standard, old-fashioned oven should be. So do you take the approach of Rav Henkin, that basically ovens have to be kasher through Hagolah, so whatever's going to work for Hagolah, so we've been Tal and Shoin, and we're not so worried about the porcelain issues, I guess, apparently, Rav Henkin wasn't too concerned about that. They get this kasher through Hagolah and finish. So Hagolah would be turning on the oven to make it to Libun Kal. How long does it take to reach Libun Kal? So the Rishonim use a Lashon, but the Kli has to reach the point of where it's Yatzah, lettuce, bone, all ends. any part in the kli you'll touch, it'll be ready as lezbo. That's not going to take very long. You turn on an oven for a little while, the inside of the oven is going to get pretty hot pretty fast, so that that would be good enough. Pashed according to Refenkin. According to the other Mekilim, not the approach of saying that it's just a libun kal, but rather saying that, no, it's a libun. The halacha insists on libun gomer. It's just that we can make believe we have a libun gomer. I, we don't have hot enough to really be libun gomer. So as long as you know that you never got hotter than that, that's also called a libun gomer. So that's bir hadavar. So how hot does it have to get? So the answer is you have to turn on the oven long enough to make sure that it will get as hot as it ever possibly got. So how long does it, you have to leave the oven on for that? So that you have to ask the oven experts, how long does it take? So it's quoted, or Shimon Eider, and Bechel Feinstein, some quotes from Rabbi Cutler. Rabbi Cutler told him you have to leave on the oven for a few hours. Leave on the oven for a few hours, then you can be certain that it reached as hot as it ever would be. So Rabbi Shimon Eider writes that, he didn't know whether Rabbi Aaron meant that halachos sinei a few hours. He thought some Rabbi Aaron didn't know that much about, practice thinking, how long it takes the oven? Say, well, he said up to a few hours. So Shimon Eider said, he did some experiments, he had some people, and they told him that once the oven's on for an hour, it's not getting any hotter anyway. So you can leave it off for 20 hours, leave it off for 1 hour. It's all the same thing. So I think that's what we usually assume, that you don't have to leave the oven on for hours and hours and hours, and then you leave it on for an hour, 45 minutes. It's hard for me to, I don't know enough about the ovens, but as long as you leave it on for the amount of time that it'll reach to the highest possible temperature, it's right. So that's it. So then according to the Mekilim, you've sufficed. But Ramesha didn't buy into any of this stuff. Ramesha said, the whole thing is not true. You need Liban Gomer, and the Kabbalah Kapol doesn't apply to Liban. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. Therefore, Ramesha insisted that if you want a kasher an oven, so you gotta manage kasher an oven, you gotta really, really kasher it, do Liban Gomer. How in the world you can do Liban Gomer? So the only eights that used to be suggested was the old eights of the blowtorch. You have guys stick their heads into the oven, like in the cartoon, blowtorch and hope it blows up. You have to be careful not to do that. So I've never ever told anybody to use a blowtorch. You know what you're doing, caterers, ashkafas. Yeah, the guy knows what he's doing, so you can negotiate. For an average guy in his house, I would not at all recommend to start playing around with a blowtorch. And those who wanted to follow Rav Moshe, so what do they do with the window for Pesach? Well, I say, even if you buy a new oven, what are you going to do? So Rav Moshe recommended that you should cook inside these little boxes. You want to see them? Used to be very prevalent in the old days. But, what? Yeah, it's like a little curious. It's like you buy a little metal box and you stick it inside, a little oven inside, you stick it inside the oven and you cook it up. When I was a kid, that's what we used to use. The problem was that the food never cooked. That was the problem. It didn't really work so well. So that's a technical problem.
This is not between us and the problem.
So that's a super basic, whatever. It's a basic one, trace off, whatever. Ramosha held that. Right. So Ramosha would maybe be molded by the fleshes to mohiks, assuming that a shukhas chag was not right, assuming that you're not concerned about the glucharis part. Okay, so that's a throwback to last time, too, depending on what it's everything. Assuming that you want a kasher, assuming that everything that we spoke about last time.
You would help people use a blowtorch?
I would have helped them.
What do you recommend?
Wait, let's get into the next one. Hold on. So everything we've been talking about isn't true anymore. I mean, this was true 50 years ago. Nobody has these kind of ovens anymore, except when you live in the Heights. So now everyone who lives in other communities live in a private house, so you live in more up-to-date apartments, so everybody else has cleaning ovens.
Ramosha's understanding was you put a box inside the oven.
Right.
And what does that accomplish?
You close the box. You put your food inside, you close the box, you put it in the oven. So where's the bleas are coming from? They're not coming from anywhere. So you've created a Dovra Mopsik. So there's no bleas going into the food. Yeah. So the newest innovation in the last 50 years or so, the idea of self-cleaning, I don't know exactly when the self-cleaning oven started, but self-cleaning ovens are significantly better than the old style ovens. Why? So self-cleaning ovens get, I think, to 900 degrees, if I'm not mistaken. So most of the posting assumed that that's considered to be Liban Gomer. Not everybody agreed, but we assume at home, we assume that's considered to be Liban Gomer. That's Liban Gomer, that's evolving. So you could just, if you move into a house, a trade house, you just turn it on and show self-clean. Before Pesach, you turn it on, show it yourself, everything is a Shalom by Yisrael. That's what the Minigo Elam is today, to assume. The Hokka, but if you turn it on self-cleaning, that's preferred.
So what's the
what's of the majority of poskim who matter it, what's the start? I'm not seeing the nitzotzos flying. I'm not seeing the whole oven get glowing hot.
It's 900 degrees. I assume that's except for the fact that the material was treated in such a way that those things are not happening. Otherwise, those things would probably happen. Okay? So again, so we assume that that's okay. So years ago, there used to be this pick book about the door of the oven. Somebody, for some reason, somebody started this story that the door of the oven apparently doesn't get as hot as the rest of the oven. Those were the rumors flying around years ago, that the door doesn't get so hot. The svar that was said was that the ovens are manufactured in such a way that they wanted to protect if the person touches the door, so they make it such a way the door doesn't in fact get so hot. I think later it was found to be dvar b'tehillim, but the whole thing wasn't true. The door gets just as hot as the rest of the oven, and the only reason why you don't burn yourself is you touch the outside of the door, because there's so much insulation on the outside, and the whole thing's a lot higher from the oven. Whatever it is, but in the old days, we used to think that the door didn't get the hot as the rest of the oven, so then there was a concern that, well, wait a second, if you want to follow Rav Moshe, so then you're still going to have Zeya problems. According to Rav Moshe, you need that 900 degrees in order to get a Lieben Gemar, and you're not getting them on one side of one of your six surfaces. You're not getting them on the front and the door. So the question is, how do you deal with that reality? Assuming the reality existed, which probably doesn't. But assuming the reality was true, so what do you do with that phenomenon? So some wanted to suggest that, well, maybe it's not such a serious problem with Zeya, because the Zeya is in front of you rather than on top of you. So this is part of our old story about where Zeya goes, up, down, all around. And others weren't so happy with that. So some came up with the following Eitza. So we'll make an insert on the door. You take a big piece of aluminum foil, take a big, big, giant piece of aluminum foil, and put it over the entire front, the inside part of the door, so that even the Zion distraction that's nivla inside the walls of the door, that's not coming out because you didn't reach the magic number of 900. So it's still okay. So no, not so terrible. So you have a Devra Mopsik and Shani going through emotion. So thus became the Minig Yisrael, and many people used to do, and many people still do today, that when they use the self-cleaning ovens of Pesach, so they kasha the whole oven, Shani self-cleaning, and then Liesa's Ace before they start cooking, so they throw in a big giant piece of aluminum foil on the door itself. Is it necessary today? I don't think the Metzius is correct. Best of my knowledge, I don't think the Metzius is right. I think the door gets hot enough also. But I will report to you that at the Sobolewski home, that aluminum foil was still there. Zeche to the good old days. We used to think that it was really necessary. We do not use the inserts anymore. Those days are long gone. But we, for some reason, we still keep. I can't bring myself Erev Pesach. I can't sit down to the Seder and look at the oven without seeing that big giant piece of aluminum foil on my face. That's just the way it is. So do I think it's necessary? No, but you know, Minigav Asani Biadaini, that's just the way that's the way things are. Okay. Pesach, we try not to change in the Seder too much. Okay. Anyway, getting back to our story. So we've pretty much touched in terms of the oven. But we haven't yet addressed the issue of the racks in the oven. Let's say a person wants to use an oven for fleishiks and milchiks, assuming that he's not so worried about Zeya. Assuming that, let's say, he's covering the pots, or he's not using so much liquids in the milchiks, whatever it is, so he's not so concerned about Zeya. So he wants to use the same oven back and forth, whether with waiting, without waiting, covered, not covered, all the details are so far in the past. Does he have to be concerned with the racks? So the color of the racks are part of the issue of what we spoke about earlier on, about Belias, namely Ein Belia Yotze Chatichah Chatichah Ela Bereita. We had a major Machalikis Rishonim, remember from back to the Sugyas and Kofet test, the Tosfos had that idea from the Lashon HaGemara. The Gemara says Mev Lebal Mefut Lepolat. So Tosfos says, you see from here that a Davra Balua doesn't jump from one Chatichah to the next. Ela Yedei Rotev. So the Rad had a lot of problems with that. The Rad says, wait a second, Yotze Chatichah Masin Veila, how does that play out? So the Rad said, we don't possibly make that long in the Gemara. The ma'is was machlokes rishonim. What the din is? So the ikra didn't we pass like this? That ena balua yotz bechatichah chatichah. Because of that taisa, the corollary of that rishonim right is that ena balua yotz mikli lekli on the day right. The malacha can't go from an eichel to an eichel bali right to carry it along the way. So if you have two kelim, if you have a hot kli over here and a hot kli over here, and the hot kelim touch one another, even though there's a blia inside one of the walls of the kli, so the blia doesn't go from one to another. Unless there's a significant amount of right there. If that's the case, so then l'chora, we should be able to master the racks based on that. Even naniach is some kind of bliya that went into the rack. What is the bliya? That's it. It was mamash bliya. It was a spill. So I cooked roasted a turkey on this last Thursday. I'm roasting a turkey, and some of the juice spills onto the racks, and I got a bleas on the rack. So I mop up the bleas, and the bleas is no bad anymore. Now I want to put a milchik pot on that, again, assuming there's no zeh issues. I want to put a dry, a cover, whatever it is, milchik thing, put it on the same rack. Do I have to be concerned that the bleas are coming out of that rack and coming into my milchik pot? So the answer is no. Ain't a bleah yeltsim chatich lachatich, or ain't a bleah yeltsim kli lakli. Are they right there? It sounds like everything should be gevaldik. The only problem is that the Ramah, when he quotes this, the Ramah quotes this in the Enesim and Sadi Beis, and the Ramah sounds a little bit like you're not really supposed to rely on this tachachiv. It's not the best thing in the world to rely on. So the question is, what did the Ramah mean with that? What is so terrible about relying on this? So some achrayim write that. For this machlekes b'shemuch, he's telling me that, so maybe lechatchila we shouldn't rely on this. The Rav Moshe has a long tshuva about ovens. The Rav Moshe reinterpreted the Ramah. The Ramah really didn't mean that. The Ramah meant that you shouldn't rely on some of the other coolers that he mentions, like covering pots we spoke about last week. But in terms of this, the Rav Moshe says mikra din is really okay. You can really rely on Tosfos. You don't have to be concerned with the rod. We pass the mikra din that ein b'liyah yosnech techuflicho, ein b'liyah yosnech techuflicho, they write it, and everything is shalom ha'yisrael. So Moshe passed the mikra din, you're allowed to put the fleshing pot on the rack, even though a little bit of spills may happen. Just wipe off, as long as there's no mamish gravy sitting there, just take the, clean it off, and then you can put your milchik pot down on the same thing, even the chachira, so Moshe said. Even though that's what I think most people will do, many people do that. Nevertheless, when it comes to Pesach, so we try to be machmir in that. That's what Shulchan Aruch already quotes. Shulchan Aruch writes, if you have a tripod, if you have a pot, if you put the pot on some kind of a stand or something, and now you want to use that same stand for Pesach, so Shulchan Aruch writes, you're supposed to kasher that stand. Why is that? So the Rishon give different reasons for that din. Why is that? So one of the reasons is because some of the chametz may have spilled over onto the stand. And now, if you can put your paste-stick pot on that, so some of the bleas that are inside are going to come out of the chametz sticker stand and are going to go into the paste-stick pots. So the Rishonim point out, what's the problem exactly? Ain't bleah yotzim ikli lakli. So the Teretz is on Pesach for Machra, Pesach lechashish for the Rad. That's what many say, that's the pshat of that Shulchan Aruch for Pesach, that you try not to rely on this for Pesach. So all year long, we're not so concerned about Pesach, we would be concerned about this. So Rav Moshe writes in Shuvas when he talks about ovens, that talks about cooked on stovetops. So Rav Moshe quotes this distinction also when it comes to cooked on the stovetop. Rav Moshe raises the question, what most of us do all the time. There's a stovetop, and he cooks his chicken on the chicken soup on the stovetop, takes the chicken soup off, and assuming that everything is clean, so he sticks his pot of milk on the same stovetop. 10 minutes later, a little shemana comes in the oven, and which we mach with this. There are people mach with this, but not. But many people, most people, I think, today are not so mach with this. But they use the same grates, the same same burners for the fleshes, the milk, back and forth. So how do you do that? So one of the svaras that Rav Moshe says is that eda kli balea, eda blia yotzmik l'kli l'kli l'day reitiv. He says, what's the problem? He says, you cook chicken soup on it. Even worst case scenario, some of the chicken soup was spilled over. So you have a blia of chicken soup. Good, blia of chicken soup. You don't see it there. Now you put your milchik pot on 20 minutes later. So where is it coming? There's no bleas. What are you afraid of? The blea is not going to go from one cleat to the other unless you have rotem. What are you afraid of? There's going to be such a big spill of milk. There's going to be such a tremendous amount of rotem going to spill over. So he quotes the Chavis Das. Chavis Das says that you got to have a lot of rotem. Little drops of rotem aren't going to do the trick. So Moshe says, "Stop and ask what the oilum is meig lahokol." Either Ramah says the chachili are not supposed to rely on this kula vein the blitze. So Moshe says, "No, if you look at the Ramah carefully, the Ramah never said that." So Moshe held that it's mutter and mikra din. You're allowed to use the same grades back and forth. Therefore, according to Moshe, the mikra din, there's no need to cash your grades either. Let's say you move into a house and they use it for a trafe stove. You just clean it off. As long as there's no end there, so you can stick the kosher pot on the grate. It's the same thing. According to Rav Moshe, the bleah doesn't go from basa to chalav, doesn't go from treif to kosher either. The only time Rav Moshe tells mikra din you have to kasher is for Pesach. Why? For the Pesach, the Shulchan Aruch already quotes not to put your pots, Pesach pots on the chalav to the tripod. So Rav Moshe says that's the part of the equivalent. If you have a chalav to the grate, then you shouldn't put your Pesach pots on top of the chalav to the grate, because in Pesach we're choshesh for the rabbi. In Pesach we don't want to rely on this kula. But the rest of the year, from Pesachola, for trade, everything is mikra din good. According to Moshe, that's a tremendous chiddush. According to Moshe, so you don't have to cash your stovetop ever. You move into a trade for apartment, you can use a trade for stovetop. I don't think people do that. people usually try to kasher. The same way we kasher our stovetops for Pesach, so I think most people kasher from trefes also. Most Chol people aren't so concerned, but from trefes people are kasher. How would you go ahead and kasher the grapes according to Moshe, let's say for Pesach, where the halachas is supposed to kasher it? So the Mishnebura writes about the tripod, that's the mocher for kasher the grapes for Pesach. So the Mishnebura writes that you don't need mamish libun. Why? Because mikra din, you don't need anything. Mikra din tells us right even in Pesach. Sachomer b'yamas, the Mishnah writes, the minig is, you do libun kal. All you have to do is libun kal. How hot is libun kal? So we said before, the Rishonim write, the libun kal is, you have to turn on the fire long enough that the whole thing gets to the yad, so let us go. How long does that take? You turn on I leave my grapes. I leave them on the fire. I turn on the fire for a couple of minutes, and you get very, very hot, very, very quickly. So the chomer, that's libun. So that should be sufficient. So the minig is, when we kasha for Pesach, well, we cash, let's say, from trefus to kosher, which according to Ramesh doesn't even need it on the stuffed up because there's no real transfer of blias. But the minig is that we try to do is like this. We try to take, let's say, a big pot of water or something, or a flask or something, and we cover over the burner. We turn the flame on to the highest for a couple of minutes, so it really heats up well. The reason why you put a pot of water or something is that's going to keep the heat in, so that's going to make it much, much hotter. You know, one can argue, what do you need that for? Even without the pot of water, it's going to get hot. It's going to get, yeah, to let us go. If you turn on a fire on a gas range and you leave it there for 10 minutes and you put your finger anywhere there, you're not going to have a finger left. So that's going to for sure reach, yeah, to let us go. So after the chain, that's what we do. That's what the minig oil is that we do. You turn on you put a pot of water or something on it, and shalom al Yisrael. I strongly recommend that when you cash the things to pay stuff from trefes to kosher, in that manner, don't do all four burners at the same time. I do not like using a black for these things. I don't like to put all four pots at the same time. You have to put water in the pots. If you don't, you're going to burn down the house, okay? Not for cashless reasons, for practical reasons. If you put on fire in an empty pot, it makes a fire, okay? So you have to have water in the pot. But I would not recommend to do all four at the same time because it gets very, very hot and you tend to, it's going to melt away some of the parts of the stovetop. I can tell you from personal experience, I've done that. I've succeeded in my first place in California to do that, to my in-law stove. So after that, I learned the hard way, easy way, that you do one or two at a time and then shut. Again, so this is all a chumrah, it's all chumrah b'yalma. Meek, meek, but then we pass like Pesach, it's finished, even on Pesach, everything is okay. So Moshe said that the Pesach, we follow the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that you have to kasher lechatchila, but it's not the end of the world. Let's say b'dieved, if you went to somebody's house and they cooked on a chomet stick of stove top without kashering it, no big deal, b'dieved doesn't matter. The racks?
Yeah.
Yes, the same swan.
Svara is Mahalach, but like, what would be the difference between the grape itself and the oven? If there's no Zaya, we're not worried about the Zaya.
No. The grate itself is the issue of the blea is going from one clue to the next.
Yeah.
Even if there's no Zaya.
Right.
Whereas on the top of the oven, it's just an issue. It's an issue of Zaya. So Zaya could be
more
common.
We're not worried about the Zaya in that case.
If there's no word, there's no word, there's no word.
What's the difference between the grate and the oven?
Because we have to be concerned. If we want to kasher an oven for Pesach, some
part.
So there may have been Zayt that went in this. And I want to cook my turkey with gravy in it. So then maybe last week the guy used it.
For
some of my moving to the apartment, the guy's been cooking for the last 20 years. He probably made his Thanksgiving dinner with a tray for turkey. So I want to use the kosher turkey.
So
we settled that on. We said that we don't. None of those schools really work.
Yeah. I have something else that requires leaving for Pesach. I have a frying pan, right? That needs leaving for Pesach.
Who said a frying pan needs leaving for Pesach?
If we're gonna hold that, if we're gonna hold that,
whatever
it
is,
whatever
it is. Okay.
I didn't just make cheese.
Okay.
On
whatever
it
is. Whatever it is. No,
French toast
is.
On the
yeah,
frying
yeah.
pan, right? So, do I assume that the chulal of the oven also gets hot enough that I could just put the frying pan in the oven when I self-clean and that'll be legal?
Yeah, so we assume that if it gets thrown into a self-clean oven, it gets pretty hot. Yeah. Okay, we'll just move that way. Okay, so this, a lot of this discussion is now revolving around this way that Ramosh is reading the Ramah, but even though the Ramah sounds like he's saying you're not supposed to rely on all this stuff, l'chatchila, Ramosh revamps the Ramah. He says, no, we only need to rely on all this with the exception of Pesach. Then Ramosh throws in another Svara, he writes that when it comes to using the same grates over again from Fleishis to Milchiks, maybe we can rely on something that we had earlier in Simon Sadi Beis, and that was the smach. When the smach spoke about the tipas cholof keneged ha'yemi b'chutz, so the smach said if it falls keneged ha'esh, remember he spoke about it falls keneged ha'molek, keneged ha'reikam, tafshah, right? And then the third category of the smach was if it falls keneged ha'esh, so we assume the esh swallows it up, burns it up, and there's nothing to worry about. So Rav Moshe writes that he thinks that even if there were some bleas that may have spilled over, some chickens who may have fell onto the grates, he said, don't worry about it. Everything is all nechla, the ash, is all burnt. There was nothing really happened. Nothing was ever nivla in the first place. So then Rav Moshe writes, but the poskim writes that we're only supposed to rely on that if it's a tipus kol, if it's a little bit. Yeah, maybe somebody spilled a whole half a pot of chicken soup at some point. But Moshe writes, no, he says, Bamedvam removed the Rishonim, the Machalik, the Smach is Machalik, you know, Tipa versus Allah. That's when it falls on the pot to near the Aish. Here it's falling mamish onto the Aish. Here the flames of mamish are licking up the bottom of the grate. So anything that fell there was immediately consumed by the fire. There are Moshe says, the essence is, even if it wasn't immediately consumed by the fire, but it was kasha anyway. It was kasha to leave it anyway. So Moshe says, the bottom line is that if you want to use the same grate from Fleishis to Milchiks, so Moshe didn't have any problems. Either because there was no blea altogether because it was eaten up by the flame, even though it was maybe a lot. And number two, even if there was a blea, but it came out anyway, so through kashering, and even if somehow kashering didn't suffice, but the bleas in here are not going anywhere anyway, because erikli blea mikli, they wrote them, and the Ramos Lechachil doesn't really apply here, and Shalom Yisrael. Moshe basically was math here, but many people did. Not everyone agreed to it. There were some who disagreed. There were some who the Bani Ashulchan has a 20-page piece, I don't know if anyone read it, they put it in the Maram Komos. It's a 20-page essay about this, taking apart every single piece of this Chiddush of Rav Moshe, saying that, nope, you shouldn't use the same vernon. I think Rav Aaron, no? Right, I think Rav Aaron was against the school of Moshe. My salvation tells me how I use the same vernon. But again, so there are machbir on this, they don't buy into any of these schools of Rav Moshe. I think most people do use the vernon if you change it. Okay. There's one last issue touching on in terms of Zeya, and that's of course the issue of microwaves. What does microwaves fit into this whole picture in terms of Zeya? Is there a problem of Zeya b'chlal and microwaves, and if so, are they kasherable? So when it comes to microwaves, it's very hard to get an exact answer about microwaves because microwaves have certain stadim l'kula and certain stadim l'chumra. They're better than regular ovens and they're worse than regular ovens in the following sense. They're worse than regular ovens because first of all, they're totally closed in, so there's no vents, which ones will have to do the vents anyway. So that's one issue. Also, there's a significant amount of zeh. You open up the microwave, you see there's not a lot of zeh there. So that leads us to believe that maybe we should be more concerned with zeh. On the other hand, there are a couple of tzadim lahotel on the microwave in that the walls don't get hot. So the food may get hot, but the walls don't get hot. My food generally, if it gets hot, if it doesn't get hot, that's the problem because you're in a microwave. I'm not quite sure which part of the food you want to bite into. But since the walls don't get hot, so maybe one can argue, the steam from table tomorrow, but there's no real bleas there. There's another factor in microwaves, is that the throwback we spoke about in Simon Pei Zayin, maybe a microwave is not called Derech Bishel, we spoke about Ramosha, Shlomo Zalman. According to Ramosha, microwaves are Derech Bishel, but according to Shlomo Zalman, microwaves don't have a flame, so they're not real Bishel. What does that have to do with us? We're talking about Bleas. So there's a big machlokes that we're sharing about, can you have a Bleas without a Bishel? Well, hopefully we'll talk about this later on. Big machlokes that we're sharing, do you have Bleas and Klisheni? Some of them say, Klisheni and Mavashel, and Klisheni and Mavliya. Sure, whatever can't be Mavashel, can't be Mavliya. Another same pitom. Bishel is a halachic concept. Bleas is a matias. Either there is Bleas or no Bleas. Nothing to do with whether it's halachically Mavashel. So one can argue that if you take that approach, that Klisheni and Mavashel, and therefore the corollary is in Mavliya, whenever there's no Bishel, there's no Bleas. So then if there's no Bishel, because it's Bishel Machama, according to Shlomo Zalman, it's still called Bishel Machama, there's no Bishel, there's no Bleas. It's hot, it's bleas. So what? That's the way it is. There's no Bishel with Klisheni, there's no Bleas with Klisheni. There's no Bishel Machama, there's no Bleas Machama. So again, that's subject to a big discussion. So again, whenever you look at microwaves, so you have to, it's hard to give an outright answer, because you have certain stadim l'hokma, certain stadim l'hachma. Lefiani is the idea. I think one should try to be a little bit more machmir in this. He said, to tell a guy to have two ovens, so again, if you have a big house with two ovens, that's great. So, like a bracha. But tell a person that you get two microwaves, or that you use a microwave for one thing and use a toaster oven for the other thing, so whatever you want to do, I think that's the more correct thing to do. Those who are not able to do that, who feel they must use the microwave for both, so they should try to cover things. Remember we said that mikvah din covering really does work. If you wrap something up entirely, so then mikvah din, everything's mutter. We try not to rely on covering b'chatchila, because if the covering's going to rip, and we spoke about this Ramah last week. All right, so those who want to be a little bit more mock. We won't rely on the covering, those who want to be a little bit more make. So we'll rely on the covering. But again, it's hard for me to give an outright answer to this question. I mean, look at Chile, you should try to assume that the microwaves are a problem. But it says, or doesn't say that in all the signs. And Yeshiva, holy kosher food is allowed in the microwaves, right? Right? Yeah, I'm assuming that anyone bothers reading the signs. Do you still have signs in the lounge that say that?
Yeah,
no microwaves. Isn't there? There's no. Right, it says only meat microwave. Okay, but we don't know who's monitoring. It's only a meat microwave. Who said it's only a kosher microwave? I don't know what's going on with the microwave. So again, in the equally a din, if everything is covered, so simply speaking, it's going to be okay. But look at Chila, which is at our house, I can only tell you what we do in our house. Our microwave is Playfix. And if we ever want Milfix, so we stick it in a toaster oven or something.
So is there a reason to be more machmir, let's say if there's at the end in a microwave, like a Ben piece of, like a little piece of meat, or you see like a lot of grease?
It's a lot of grease, okay. It's even more reason to be concerned. Baruch Hashem, in our house, there's not so much Ben. Somebody cleans the microwave now. That's the idea. It's clean.
Maybe
there's
too much to be shown, like, by cliche and Kabriya, that it's not going to happen. Maybe the microwave could be more machmir. I mean, it's more mamash than cliche.
The question is, if somehow somebody showed him hell that Bishul and Bliya is hand in hand. Bliya is a halachic concept, so Bliya can't happen in the absence of a Bishul. So for whatever reason there's no Bishul. I don't know. It could be that's why cliche is also no good, may also be Mavashma, not deaf Bishul for himself. Yeah, I don't know. Not sure. Anyway, I'm not sure. Assuming that you have a problem, assuming that you're concerned with microwaves, so it's a fairly easy way to cash your microwave. Usually assume that microwaves can be cashed if you just clean them out and you fill up a cup of water and you turn it on for a while, see whatever what comes in comes out. It's some kind of a kasher through Zaya as well. Assuming that you can kasher plastic. And if you're not so worried about kashering plastic, so then that would be a possible solution. That's a general question about it. We'll kasher. How much? How serious is that way to think about it? Glass plate, no. We'll talk about glasses. We'll talk about kashering candle. We'll see that glass is not the final thing in the world.
What do you
call What do I tell people? I tell them they should use.
If you made a mistake,
say wait 24 hours. It's a cloud goal, you always wait 24 hours.
Okay?
And do the water. Fill up the water, yeah. You can use the plate, it's not the end of the world. Also, the food that's on the plate is going to be ankle below the plate anyway, and it's going to. Many folks, there's no blues, bechlal in glass. Lots of them.
Plate, say, like, where it's not actually real glass.
Or whatever. Did it break? Did it drop? No? Don't they?
What do we hold on Pyrex in general?
So we'll talk about Catherine Cannon. Otherwise, we'll talk about Injun. Okay. And I know some guys wanted to dive in Mincha before. You guys want to dive in? I'm not going to dive in now, but if guys have. Is there a minute you guys want? If there is a minute you guys want, so dive in quickly, you got to be done by.